Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Well, we want to welcome you once again to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Brent Smith alongside my best buddy, Shane Stetsny. And man, we're just days away, Shane, from the biggest weekend of the year. Once again, it's already the fall, man. It's starting to cool off.
Yeah, Polaris World Championship weekend. We're in World Championship week now, which is, stressful for us for a whole variety of reasons. But, just a couple days away from being at the racetrack. Actually, when this podcast comes out, we'll be about 24 hours away from leaving our homes to meet up at the racetrack. And yeah, you know what? We've talked about this a couple times before we recorded this, that it's kind of a weird time of the year emotionally for us. Like, it's sad that it's already up to this point. It seems every year like the season goes by faster and faster, and it's because we're getting older and that's just how it feels. But also, just like you said, the excitement, the high stakes, the drama, the big crowds, all the stuff that goes on off the racetrack at Crandon, it just makes for such an awesome celebration of our sport. Yeah, I can't state it strongly enough how excited I am to get back to my hometown and be at Crandon International Raceway this weekend.
Yeah, man, it just brings so much excitement as well as almost tears in our eyes. You know, it's just the love for what we said in the sport. It just never goes away. And to be at Crandon, biggest, baddest racing around, but at the same time, you know, it's getting to the end of the year, the big points, shakeups. We know the racing's going to be good. We talk about downtown at the parade, dude. I mean, maybe you and I need to get back to that wheel changing competition and start that again downtown Crandon. Just all the festivities, the parade itself, and just meeting and greeting and touching those trucks and looking at the body panels and looking at all the new paint schemes and who knows what we'll see and the new drivers. I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to. What about you?
Yeah, I think really the parade has been such an important part of World Championship weekend for me since I was a kid. And, you know, when I'm there, I'm still a kid in a sense, just for those reasons that you talked
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
You walk up and down the street, and even though we're colleagues, it's like, hey, I see Johnny Greaves in his truck. Like, that's so cool. It's still, you know, It's hard to shake that feeling of wonder and awe that we get to watch these crazy athletes, you know, go at one another. And like I said, the whole weekend being just a celebration of everything that off-road racing is starts really at the parade. And that's kind of like a family reunion of sorts. You know, you don't have to walk more than about 6 feet at a time and you run into somebody else that, you know, and it's not just drivers and teams, but for me, it's kind of a homecoming. So I run into local folks that, you know, still live in the area, even though I've been moved away now for a decade plus. You know, there's a lot of sentimentality wrapped up in the experience of being downtown Crandon on Friday morning at the parade.
Yeah, there's no other feeling, right? I mean, my brother and I, Brock, we were just talking in the garage this weekend while working on our race cars and just talking like, man, what time are you going to be there Friday? You know, we'll meet over by Subway and we'll get things ready so we can walk up and down the lane of the best sport in the world. And that's what I love everything about it. And like you said, I mean, just you get goosebumps looking at our favorite drivers just as kids still in the field. And there's a lot of great talent that's coming, as well as a lot of newcomers just for one weekend, Shane.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Crandon, that's part of the game, right? Always brings those expanded pro classes and sportsman classes. But man, Pro 2 is going to be some kind of absolutely insane show. You're adding back in the former class champ, Brian Deegan, the godfather of the Metal Militia. He needs no introduction. Heck, you're also adding a rookie to short course off-road racing, Mad Mike Wadette. He's from New Zealand, pro drifter, Red Bull athlete. He's driving the Andrew Carlson Pro 2, plus Ronnie Anderson, plus Zach Sikowski, Mine Spaccarelli, Bradley Morris, former champion, Corey Winner. I mean, honestly, those names, those seven guys I just named right there, that would be a hell of a race. But then you add in all the other guys who've been racing with us all year, Ricky G, Ryan Beat, Keegan Kincaid, and all the rest of those names. My goodness, Pro 2 is like, we're set up for an all-timer of a weekend in that Pro 2 field.
Oh, man, you got my blood flowing. I just love this Pro 2 division, and to bring big names back in the field, that's what we want to see, right? That's what Fall Crandon's all about, Shane. We see the biggest fields, the baddest speeds. I mean, the technicality of Crandon, me, I feel it's not as technical as it could be, but that's the speedway, the Talladega, the Daytona 500 of our sport. And to put these drivers behind the wheel, I'm excited. It's going to be some kind of showdown.
Yeah, I think another one that is going to be really great. They're all going to be great. Let's face the facts here. But oh, Pro Buggy, I'm really excited about. I mean, we've talked about, even on the previous episode, that points battle between the Big Tuna and Billy Booth and Jordan Bernlohr. That's worth the price of admission right there. But Lorenzo Bonacci is coming back. Saw that on Instagram just earlier today before we recorded. Matt Brister is going to be there. Jaden Uribe, who's been racing with us the last couple of rounds, also going to be there. Bobby Connor from Crandon jumping back into a Pro Buggy as well. Teammates with Keegan.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Pro Buggy is going to be another super full field of cars. I mean, we're talking like 18-ish cars. And again, like Crandon, when the metaphoric lights shine the brightest with the most on the line, you get those extra drivers, and it's just pure excitement.
Well, you know, when Matt Brister and Lorenzo Bonacci show up, right? I mean, they're there to win races at the big house, and that's going to shake up everything, not only the points race.
Yeah, Meister, but, too.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of great talent. Now you just add three more. I mean, it's like the old days back with Jeff St. Peter and all the big names like Taylor and Art Schmidt were in the fields. I mean, we had car count, and that's what we love to see. This sport keeps growing.
Pro Light also expected to have a little help. Bryce Ford, who raced Crandon back in June, but then he had to take off because he's a pro ATV motocross racer. Finished second in the Pro National Championship, by the way, this year. He is back in Pro Light. Actually had CJ Greaves spinning some laps in his truck at Crandon to help get that thing dialed in. Then in Pro 4, of course, RJ Anderson, the two-time World Cup winner from a couple years back. And I've seen rumblings of a third Greaves truck. Do you know anything about that? You're kind of the boots on the ground guy for this investigative reporting. What do you know about this third Greaves Pro 4 that I've heard bits and pieces about?
Man, I feel like I'm letting you down, Shane, because I really don't know a lot of info. I wanted to ask and text CJ, but I kind of want it to be a surprise for myself as well. So, like, as a kid feeling, right, going into Crandon, I believe it's going to be somebody really strong behind the wheel. And obviously, you're not just going to let anybody jump behind a 900-plus horsepower Pro 4. So, I mean, as soon as we find out, obviously, you and I can banter back and forth. But I think it's going to be cool, and I know it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at those numbers, you know, Pro Spec, probably looking at 13-ish trucks, maybe 14. There was nice rumors of a couple new guys on the way.
Do you have names on that, Shane?
See, now you're putting me on the spot. I don't remember the names that were rumored.
I got you back.
But there's some trucks out there.
Okay.
Also saw that, this is an aside here, but saw that Lincoln Monsager does have a Pro Spec, planning on bringing that thing out next year. So more excitement on the way for that class. Monsager probably on his way to a Mod Cart Championship this year. But yeah, looking at those numbers, 13, 14 Pro Lights, same number in Pro Spec. Like I said, 18 Pro Buggies, 16 to 18 Pro 2s, 13 Pro 4s. That is fantastic.
Dude, how many Pro 4s? 13?
13 of them.
Wow.
Lucky 13.
Good. I'm so excited to watch Pro 4. Finally, now we got the car count that we want, and you're at Crandon, the big house. Pro 2, just so much great talent. But these kids' races in the short course carts, I mean, they have a lot of racing in one weekend because of those canceled races in Bark River.
Yeah, actually a couple of the tightest sportsman points battles. And remember, this is it for the sportsman. Pros still have Glen Helen to look forward to, but sportsman, it all ends at Crandon. The two that have an extra race, the 570 side-by-sides, that's a one-point margin between Cody Krantz and Peyton Weisbrod, who we talked to on the previous podcast. Super stock truck. They'll race Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Nick Bing, 10 points ahead of Corey Holcher, and then another 7 points further back is Braden Boshaw. But again, both of those three rounds, I mean, that's a lot of racing for those competitors. And we know how crazy the final weekend can get. Like, that's, there's some real intrigue in those points battles for sure.
Well, Shane, the biggest thing is you hope these teams, and I know a lot of them that you read off, will be prepared to be at the Fall Crandon. But racing that many races, you have to have spare parts, spare panels. I mean, you have to have your mindset on right, because man, you can either have a great weekend or you can really hurt yourself in the points.
Yeah, I hope they're the drivers and the teams are getting a good couple nights of rest, because I mean, once they get boots on the ground in Crandon on Wednesday, that might be the last chance they get at getting some good sleep.
Well, buddy, you better get your rest too. You don't only have to announce and work the weekend, you get the race too. So I'm going to have to leave you alone and not talk your ear off at the end of the night.
Hey, that's A-okay. Two more sportsman classes I think are going to be phenomenal points battles right down to the wire. One of them, short course kart, they only race twice, remember. Last year, it came down to the final couple laps on World Championship Saturday between Finley Holscher and Wesley Vandevort. It's looking like it's going to line up that way again. Roman Tolberg, Jacoby Tolberg, Gabe Holscher, 16-point margin from first to third in that battle. And then the 200 side-by-sides, Grayson Forsyth leads Finley Pence right now by 6 points. Finley is a Crandon local. He's from Argonne. So possible hometown rookie points champion in the 200s this year.
Yeah, the Pence brothers have really turned it on in their first season. It's amazing what you can do when you have good, great people behind you, and they can drive those cars. It's so much fun. You look at short course kart like you were talking about. These drivers give it all out, all 120% on the table, and it's anybody's game going into Crandon. And if you're that age, you imagine, Shane, we were holding the fence. They're getting a drive. You want to win at Crandon.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that short course kart battle. Tolberg brothers, like I said, 9 points apart, two shots at this thing. I mean, those have to be some tense family dinners this week, right?
Well, yeah, I just
you
hope
think
they
you think the brothers are like passing each other in the hallway and like refuse to look each other in the eye and they're bumping shoulders?
Yeah, you're trying to be nice to each other, but at the same time, put your foot down. And I mean, they're going to have to keep the magnets opposite ways so they don't bump and grind, because if they want this championship, they can't take each other out. And Gabe Holscher been fast each and every weekend. So it's anybody's game, but if you're the Tolbergs, you really have the advantage and maybe you can help each other out.
I just can't imagine the pressure of all, you know, out of those four classes being in any of those drivers' shoes. Basically, all those drivers I mentioned, if they have the best weekend out of the people who are near the top of the points in their class, they're going to come out on top. Like, it's not a matter of like, well, you got to hope something bad happens to the other guy. No, even if you're like Braden Boshaw, who's 17 points out of first, you just go out and have a great weekend, and that can be enough, even if the other guys have a good weekend. I mean, that's how tight these battles are.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Braden, 17 points out. I mean, you look at Bing, Corey Holscher, they've won a championship, right? That monkey's not so hard on your back and trying to take right. you down. You know what it's like. You know that pressure. You know what it's going to be feeling like going into Saturday. And at the end of the day, Braden Boshaw, you said it perfectly. He has nothing to lose. He's going to go out, just put the pedal to the metal, and he's going to go out and try to win all three races. Because I know Braden, and he wants to go out on top, and he's trying everything to hunt these two down. But it's not going to be easy. Corey Holscher, Nick Bing, they're ones to watch as well. That whole class, anybody can win, but it's going to be a challenge, but those three are very mentally ready for it, I believe.
Yeah, and Holscher has kind of done it quietly. You know, he's strung together a bunch of top five finishes, scattered a couple wins in there, whereas, you know, Bing had the big moment in Wheatland, sending it over that huge tabletop, which at this point feels like it was 3 years ago, but I digress. You know, Bing's been the consistent guy, a ton of second, third place finishes, couple wins. Holscher a little bit quieter, but really starting to pick up some steam. And then the other side of the coin, Braden's trying to turn his luck around.
Yeah, you said it perfectly, because, you know, it's just a challenge. This class, they've been around a long time. Nick Bing, I mean, he's a veteran in the class. Corey Holscher, he's obviously comfy. But I'll say it again, Braden, he's due for a championship, but he's going to have to earn it. And he knows that. He wants to beat these guys fair and square. And so does Bing. So does Holscher. They're three great race car drivers, and it's going to come right down to the end. And I hope nobody breaks, right, Shane? I want it to come down right to the last lap.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, all four of those classes that I've been talking about, 200s, 570s, short course kart, and super stock, the numbers are lined up in such a way that it literally could come down to, you know, can a driver make one more pass as a race is winding down? Like, that's how close it's going to be. It's going to be really fun for us, really fun for me crunching the numbers on the fly, too.
Oh, absolutely going to be the best weekend that we've seen yet. I feel, you know, the you know the excitement that we ended with at Cran, and I guarantee it's going to start right where it left off.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, we haven't mentioned it yet, but obviously the last moment of racing that we saw at Crandon was Kyle Chaney pushing Keegan Kincaid across the line in that Forest County Pottawatomie Community Cup. What do you think is going to be the iconic moment? I mean, that's hard to predict, but I guess what class is going to bring us the iconic moment from, you know, this edition of racing at Crandon?
I believe that we're going to see championship Saturday for our sportsman drivers. It's not even about the pros right now. In my eyes, I feel we're going to see that battle in super stock truck create us to go nuts again, as well as pro buggy. I mean, every one of those races every time is just a battle to the end. And granted, I think we're going to see a great pro two race, right? I mean, I can't just pick one, but who knows? It's anybody's guess, and we're going to try to make it as exciting as possible.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to need any help making it exciting. I think the racing is going to speak for itself.
Yeah, it's going to. It's Crandon. That's all you got to say. We're at the big house, the biggest crowds, the biggest car counts that we've ever seen all year long, and it's going to be different not ending the year there. But at the same time, you better bring your A game. It's Crandon.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any less juice to the whole weekend, being that it's not the end of the pro season. Like you said, you know, the sportsmen all deciding their championships here. That's enough for me, I think. It's like I said, it's going to be, especially with the new drop rounds for this year, it's going to be top to bottom excitement. There's really only one sportsman class that's mostly locked up, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's what's going to bring the excitement to us and all the fans. And the biggest excitement for me, I'll say it again, is you getting behind a sportsman side by side and getting to watch you live out your childhood dream, man. I wish you the best of luck, and I'm there for you all the time. And I'm excited for the whole weekend in itself.
Hey, you know, I appreciate that very much, Brent. Thank you. Well, as always, fans, this podcast is brought to you by AMSOIL. And if you love power and performance and saving money, you can become an AMSOIL preferred customer and save up to 25% on AMSOIL products and receive free shipping, exclusive promotions, and more. Just visit AMSOIL.com and sign up today. Our guest on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL, from Sportsman Side-by-Side, he's currently second in the points, Bryce Carlson. Bryce, thanks for hanging out with me for a little bit here on what's going to be a very busy race week for all of us.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, so before we get really into nuts and bolts, on our last episode, we kind of talked to the two drivers about the feelings of coming to the end of the season, and Lucas Houle was talking about there's kind of a sense of relief when the season is about to end. How are you feeling at this point in the season, knowing that you just have a couple races left and you're done for the winter, essentially?
I don't know. I'd say it feels pretty good, but then at the same time, it's like, oh man, the season's already over, like, it went by so fast, but I always have a great time. Like, I kind of just don't want it to be over, but at the same time, it's like, oh man, then we can just, me and my dad can go and do other stuff where it's not always working on the car every weekend.
Yeah, what's the actual grind of the season like for you? I mean, this year we expanded the schedule a little bit. Sportsman got 7 weekends of racing across 4 states, four or five different months of the year. What's that grind like? You know, how do you stay motivated throughout a long season like that?
You know, like, it's always me and my dad just every weekend in the garage just working on the car. And, you know, the thing that probably motivates me the most is just he keeps pushing me, and just a thought that I could be the next points champ or something like that. It's a really awesome feeling. And, you know, I love to work for it, and it shows on the track because we're getting podiums and we're still in second for points right now. You know, it's like, it's just me and him. We just put our heads down and just work our butts off for this.
After this weekend, after Labor Day, you know, because you've been at this for a while, do you try to like unplug from racing for a little while? I'll tell you that, like, Brent and I, we talk every day all race season. We're always thinking about racing. And then when our season ends, which will be after Glen Helen this year, like, Brent and I don't even talk to each other for a few months. I'm wondering if you kind of unplug from it like that too.
Yeah, it's like that a little bit, like, where me and my dad, like, I don't know, we don't want to get super burnt out on it, like, but after that, we usually go back and we'll start watching the races again, because we're like, oh man, we want to be there again, but, you know, I got to wait through the whole winter. But yeah, you know, just kind of just take a break for a little bit, and then we start getting back into the groove of it, a groove of things.
Are you one of the type of people that likes to have their car totally torn down by like October 1st and race ready again, or do you sit on it for a while? I know people that are on both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, we usually end up waiting. We're not like get it done right away. It's usually
sure.
We usually draw it out a little bit because I don't know. It just there's really no reason, but we just it's never done right away. But you know,
what does a normal off season look like for you? And this particular off season that's coming up, do you have any priorities that you know, things that you want to change about your program?
We're actually like talking about things that we're gonna have to change. Like we're gonna get a whole new car because we can't race the RS1 anymore. But sure. So that'd be kind of crazy. But getting a whole new car is gonna be crazy because I don't even. But then again, we might not. This might actually be our last year, but we're not super sure. Just because of the whole new car thing.
So the last time that you raced at Crandon, you had a tough day on Saturday, which would have been round 5. You started dead last in round 6, and then over the course of a pretty short race, went from 34th to 3rd. What's the whole story of that weekend, and particularly that race? I mean, walk me through the experience of coming from the back and landing on the podium.
Yeah, man, that was actually probably the best race weekend I've ever had. Because coming off that first day, coming into the first corner, you know, there was like a spin out and I got my rear end got tapped. And so it just took me out of the race and my front end was just smashed. So nothing we could do there. But we came back the next day and I don't know, I was really pumped. I was like, man, this is going to be really fun because I don't know. We're just going to be like, man, let's see what happens. My parents were just kind of like, you know, if you can get a top 10, that'd be pretty cool. But like, they weren't really expecting anything. So I thought it was going to be so fun because there's just no pressure and just trying to work your way around people. And, you know, I woke up in the morning, came out of the camper and Tito pulls up in the Ranger and he's like, you going to get on the podium today? I was like, I'm starting dead last. So we're going to see what happens. And he's like, well, I know you got that dog and you're like, get on the podium. And I was like, all right, well, we're going to see. And passing 19 people in the, not even the first lap because of that red flag right away. And then just slowly pushing and pushing all the way up to the top 5 and coming down that front straightaway again, passing those other people on the radio. My dad was just freaking out. He's like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. Like, because I was just pulling away and, you know, finally got in the top 3. I think if we had at least another lap or if that yellow flag wasn't in the gravel pit, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like I probably could have gotten 2nd or even 1st. I don't know, because I was just on a move. I was in the groove. Like, it felt so good.
What's it like to be in the zone like that? I mean, you know, I follow a lot of like stick and ball sports. So I, you know, you hear about a baseball, especially they'll talk about like the baseball looks bigger when they're at the plate and it's easier to hit. I mean, what's it like to actually, you know, be driving and just, it seems like everything's going your way. What's that feeling like?
I don't know. Like you feel so much faster than normal and you're just so confident to just make these moves that don't normally stick, but it's like, you're just so fast. And like, I felt like coming off of every jump, I was gaining on people because I was jumping so much harder. I was bottoming out on every jump. Like that was just one of the craziest races I've ever had. Like the feelings are just crazy. It just felt so good.
I have to tip my hand a little bit here that I went back and watched your kind of your in-car cut up of that race. Mostly because I was scouting for when I'm actually racing against you this weekend.
Oh, nice.
But watching it from your point of view, I'm like, holy cow. Like, in my wildest dreams, I'd have a run like that when I'm out there and, you know, scratch out like a top 15. But, you know, watching it from your point of view was nuts. And I remember calling the race too. Like, you know, Brent and I kind of were keeping an eye on you. And it, like you said, it was only a couple laps and all of a sudden you're up in the top 15. And we're like, wow, he's having, you know, that's already a great day in such a crazy class. But yeah, and then you come storming out of nowhere in the last couple of laps and land on the podium. It was nuts.
I remember watching the race back and like, because my parents were, they had gotten the clip for where you were saying like, oh, here's in the top 5, it's Carlson. And we were just smiling that whole time because it was just so crazy. But yeah, I remember getting back into the pits, because sometimes my GoPro doesn't like to record, but that time it did, and I was really happy. So I made that video, and like, that took me a long time to make because there was so many passes, but I was like, I can't not include every pass because it was so cool.
So looking ahead at this Crandon weekend, like I said when I introed you there, you're second in the points, the championship still mathematically, you're in play for it. But is that really on your mind and part of your motivation this weekend, or you ought to just make a big statement and maybe pick up another world championship ring?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like points championship has been on my mind all year. I feel like it'd have to be like something crazy to happen if I was going to get it, because I feel like Code is so far ahead, but he's just been on a move this year.
I think with the drop rounds, I think he's 50 ahead.
Right, yeah. Like,
if my figuring out was correct.
Yep, because we've been looking at it all year, and it's like, I don't know, something crazy would have to happen. Like,
and you would never obviously wish that on a competitor.
Nope.
Right.
Because like, dude, I love Cody. He's so cool. Like, he's awesome to hang around in the pits with, and we're always at the RC track just hanging out. But we're always still looking at the points, and he was just driving great this year. And I mean, I'll take a second all year long. Now I'll see if we can get that World Cup ring again. That'd be freaking sweet.
There's more on the line for that race, obviously. Drivers who are competitive want to win a ring or win another ring in your case. Does that add any pressure, any juice to that race for you? Like, do you wake up in the morning on Saturday morning feeling a little bit different than a normal race day?
I mean, yeah, it's a little bit more nerve-wracking because it's like, you know, at the start, you want to just try to get out front right away, which for me, that usually doesn't work. And something usually goes wrong, where like that happened in Lena that one race where I got wrecked right in the first corner. But, you know, it's like, I always try to just hang back because I know I can come back to the second half. But because most of the time, right at the start, something bad will happen and it'll ruin the whole race, where it's like, you can't win the race off the first lap or right off the start. You got to be able to survive. And so it is definitely a little bit more nerve wracking because, you know, you gotta try to drive almost a little cautious, but not cautious enough to where you're going to let the people behind you catch you.
Do you think that having already won a world championship, that does that ease the pressure for you a little bit? Like, you know you can do it. Obviously, the metaphoric bright lights don't bother you as much. Do you feel like that's an advantage that you have?
I mean, yeah.
Especially racing against some of these younger kids, like you said, Code and Carson Hill and, you know, these other kids that are newer to the sport.
I mean, yeah, I'd say so, because then it's more like you're just not as nervous. I mean, you are, but like, because it's such a huge race, it's the last one of the year, it's like you got to do good. But when you've already went through something before, you've already got that experience, and like, so it's not as bad as it would be for, it's like, if it's your first time, you know.
And you mentioned that you know, specifically starts, especially at Crandon, and especially in sportsman side-by-side, it seems like, are always really chaotic. How do you prepare just for that part of it, the land rush start, and with so much on the line, especially on World Championship Saturday? Like, what's going through your head when Faye's throwing up the yellow and you're getting ready to rock? What's on your mind at that point?
That's what I'd say definitely is always the hardest part, especially at Crandon, because I like, and like the other tracks where we have that base lap, it really calms me down. But like at Crandon, where we don't get the pace lap, I get really nervous right at the last second. But it's like, I'm just trying my best to just kind of just not think about it, not think about anything, don't let anything worry me. But I get super nervous right at the last second. And then when it's green flag, then I'm completely fine. But coming right up to that point, it's just like, there's a lot of feelings where it's like, holy crap, like this is going to be a crazy race. But I just try to keep myself calm as best as I can.
Do you have any advice for me as a first-time land rush start taker?
Oh, man. I'd say it's probably one of the scariest, crazy things, but it's going to be one of the most awesome things ever. And just try to just hold your line. Pretty much all it is. Just hold your line down that, because you can get pushed around where like the whole entire row will move back and forth, because everyone's trying to get to that inside. But, you know, just hold your line all the way down it and try to match the speed of everybody else. so you don't get too left behind.
One of the things I learned from watching your in-car is on that start, you actually got to the blue wall like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just passed everybody that was, you know, struggling to make space for themselves. I'm like, well, hey, I can maybe do that.
Yep. Because I don't know, sometimes a lot of, like, people like to push right there. So you just kind of dive to the inside and just, the land rush is just, it's a super awesome experience.
Generally speaking, when you're in staging or about to get in the car, what's your vibe like? Before I was announcing, I used to like to go hang out in staging before different races. And, you know, there's some guys that seem like they just pounded a cup of coffee and they're bouncing around. Then there's other people I've known that they just want to sit in their car like 10 minutes early and they don't want anybody to talk to them. Where do you fall in that spectrum?
I don't know. I'd say I'm kind of like right in the middle, because I'll go and tell people good luck and I'll be like, you know, it's going to be an awesome race. And I'll talk to some people and then, you know, I just kind of get in my car and then I just sit there and I just try to chill and just try to just take it easy and just try to go through my head, like, just remember to stay focused and run your line. Because as soon as, like, if I'm out front or something and I just start freaking out, I'm going to not run my line and I'm going to be running a bad race. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay calm and keep my head down and just keep myself in focus.
That's actually kind of a good lead into my next question, talking about trying to stay focused. You know, Crandon, Labor Day weekend, there's so much other stuff going on. There's the parade, there's additional racing series, there's, you know, the concerts at night, and it's the biggest crowds of the entire sport. Is there a part of the weekend that you look forward to the most? Is it just the racing, or is there something else that, you know, really excites you about being at Crandon?
I think watching the Ultra Fours, because you never get to see them.
Nice.
And they're just really badass machines, like just being able to smash over the rocks like that. But
you go in the back section and watch them?
Oh, yeah.
Brent and I always try to boogie back there when we're done working.
Yeah, me and my dad are always back there. That's always the best spot.
You know, I'm an off-road short course purist. Like, I love me some Pro Fours, but something about the Ultra Fours flying up that huge hill, Volkswagen-sized boulders, it is pretty gnarly to watch it.
It is absolutely insane, yeah. Yeah, that's always the best. There's sparks flying when they're smashing off the rocks and doing burnouts on the rocks trying to get up. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
There's something very primal, too, about, like, you know, you're standing in the woods with a group of like-minded people just cheering like an idiot.
Yeah. Yep.
So I know earlier this summer, Bryce, you graduated from high school, I think between Wheatland and before Antigo. You know, now that the summer's coming to an end, what's next in your life? What's the next step?
I kind of wanted to try to go to lineman school and be a lineman. I think that would be pretty cool, because then, like, I'd be making enough money where maybe if this happens to be our last year and we're not able to race next year, then, you know, I'd be making enough money where eventually in my life, maybe I could come back to it and I could race again. But, yeah, I think maybe I'll go to lineman school and we'll just see what happens, I guess.
You know, wherever your path takes you, is being around short course racing something you definitely want to do? Are you hooked on this for life, I guess is what I'm asking.
I don't know. It's kind of hard, because I feel like I absolutely love racing. Like, we've been going to the races since I was like 6 or 7. And if I could keep racing, I think that's probably what I would do, because it's so fun. But it'd be really fun to go even down into the desert like that. Like the Ultra 4 racing, I feel like that's something that I've always wanted to do, was race in those massive races. Like, I think that stuff is super, super cool.
Yeah, I think that I know for sure that for me, a trip out to King of Hammers is like on my bucket list.
It is seriously worth it. It's got to be one of the coolest things ever. We went down there and we were helping like Ben Hiding, and it's like 136,000 acres of just free open riding. The one trail, Chocolate Thunder, when you're up on that mountain or that big sandy hill, and you're looking over Hammertown, it looks like a city at nighttime, because there's so many people there. Like 100,000. Like, that's crazy to see.
It's kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, there's also like the world's biggest, you know, Ultra 4 race.
Yep.
And desert racing and all the other, you know, sideshows. those guys are a different kind of animal. Now you got me excited to see the Ultra Fours at Crandon this weekend. More excited than I was.
Heck yeah. I love the Ultra Fours.
Well, hey, man, I do appreciate you finding a little bit of time for us on what I know is a very busy week. And I know you got a lot of things on your mind. Whatever the future holds for you, man, it's been really fun so far to watch you race. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend at Crandon.
Heck yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me on. And hopefully the weekend goes smooth for you and your car.
Yeah, at the very least, I'll see you and all the other fast guys on the starting line.
Heck yeah.
Well, Shane, I'm just as excited as you and Bryce Carlson. I can't wait to get to Crandon. It's days away, hours away. Man, less than 48 hours, we're going to be at the big house.
Man, I cannot wait. Busy weekend. Racing starts Thursday, 12:15 p.m. if you're on site. That's the Sportsman Round 11 makeup, those four races that we had to cancel from Bark River, the 570s, Pro-Am Side-by-Side, 1600 Buggy Superstock. That's going to be four good races to kick off the weekend as a nice little appetizer. Then a couple rounds of pro qualifying. And then at 3:30 p.m., we come back for the Crandon Youth Cup. That's the 170s, 200s, 570s, youth side-by-side, short course kart, and mod kart running on Thursday afternoon. The event we talked about, the parade Friday morning. Race vehicles get down there about 9 a.m. So if you're coming into town and haven't been there before, you know, try to get down there early. You can see all the race cars parade into town, and then the huge parade, including all the parade floats and all the marching bands and everything else, starts at 12 noon and heads back to the racetrack. And then from there on out, it's just a weekend of short course off-road racing, the best in the world.
Yeah, man, this is so exciting. I can't wait. I mean, it's fall Crandon. The temperatures, make sure you bring your sweatshirts and coats at night. It's going to be a big party for a lot of people, but man, the racing's going to be hot on the track.
Yeah, live music every night, by the way. At times, two bands playing in two different spots out there at the raceway. You know, Bryce and I had talked about being excited about seeing the Ultra 4s come back to town. It's going to be great to see the Class 11s because I'm a buggy dork. Get to root for one of our own people, Amanda Vandenelson, out there in Class 11. So, man, so much to be excited for. And I'm trying to not psych myself out too much.
You're fine, buddy. I'm there for you, like I said, and just enjoy the moment and be there. Everybody's going to be behind you 120%, and it's going to be fun, and Crandon's going to be amazing. I'm excited, like you said, about the Ultra 4x4s Saturday night. That's where you and I go in the back 40, and we like to watch them and love that horsepower and the rocks, and just the best drivers in the world are there right in front of us. I mean, everybody out there listening right now, hey, we're just as much as a kid as you guys are. We're there with you.
No doubt about it. Can't wait. We go live on Flow Racing at 1:50 p.m. Central Time Friday for Sportsman Round 13. If you're there on Thursday, like we said, come out on the hill. We'll be announcing all those makeup rounds and the Crandon Youth Cup just to the house itself. But we go live 1:50 p.m. Central Time Friday afternoon. Or you'll go live. I'll be in staging for Sportsman Side-by-Side, but that'll be the next time that you hear from us. And we thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. He's Brent, I'm Shane, and I will see you from the starting line real soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.